This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk at St. John's College at Oxford, England, where one of my ancestors, Stephen Batchelor, matriculated on the 17th of November, 1581. It is always 5 minutes, 2 seconds behind Greenwich London time on the clocks at Oxford, and it was that way in towns all over the world because each town kept its own time independent of other towns up until the 1600s. King Charles II started standardization of time to keep track of where the British ships were on the globe in relationship to the Royal Observatory site in Greenwich. It was not until 200 years later, in 1884, that an international conference in Washington, D.C. voted to choose Greenwich as the center of the world time. Today, time zones around the world are still measured in relationship to the north-south meridian that divides the globe and runs through the Royal Observatory site in Greenwich, which is in South London. Time is essential for navigation for vessels at sea and to understand the charts that are used to avoid collisions and guide you where you want to go. Every 1 degree on the chart is 4 minutes of time, 60 minutes of time divided by 15 degrees of longitude. 1 minute of time on the chart is 15 minutes of longitude. So the coordinates of Oxford, England are 51 degrees, 44 minutes, 60 seconds north of the equator and 1 degree, 15 minutes, 24 seconds west of Greenwich. That is why Oxford time is 5 minutes and 2 seconds behind Greenwich time. Time still plays a major role in celestial navigation on the water, which is used by ships and boats at sea when the electronics go out. Differences in time and longitude are how celestial navigators determine their longitude. They have an accurate clock which tells them exactly what time it is in Greenwich, and they use the stars above them to determine their local time for the given date. For example, they know from an almanac when a certain star should be in a certain location on a certain day of the year, and they already know the date. So they measure the location of the star or sun, and then they're able to determine their local time. By comparing their local time to the time on their clock or chronometer, which is set to Greenwich time, they can determine their longitude. If your chronometer is off by 4 seconds, your longitude will be off by 1 nautical mile at the equator. A clock that is off by 4 minutes will put the navigator's location off by 60 nautical miles at the equator. Therefore, it is imperative that an accurate clock be tuned precisely to Greenwich Mean Time to successfully use celestial navigation. And if you don't know where you are accurately in relationship to the map you are using, then your ship may be off course enough that you will not get to your destination, or even worse, might hit rocks below the surface of the water that are marked on the chart. This is Karen Lyle from Salesport Talk reporting to you on Sports Byline, which is broadcast to 100 million people in 168 countries around the world, all of which keep track of their time in relationship to Greenwich in the south of London, England.
All right, and if you're wondering why we're listening to Crisscross Applesauce right there, we do that every Tuesday, been doing that for over a year, to intro our 9:40 on Tuesday segments with SailSportTalk.com. It is a website devoted to, wait for it, you guessed it, sailing, and Karen Lyle comes in usually. Either her or Patty Mangan, and we talk sailing, and I've learned a lot over the year plus about it, and we have certain guests. Well, she's in the UK right now. It actually is a K again, not the United Queendom. She's in the UK, and she has a guest, but we're trying to figure out how to get them all. Dominic's working diligently to get them all, doing his due diligence, as they say in the courtroom, to get everybody on board here. And when they are, we'll fire it up. I love stories of, explorers and sailing. I think a lot of people do. I just would never want to be on any of those ships. I mean, if you think about scurvy, food with maggots in it, dirty water when you could get it, and then also you just think about the head. You basically had to lean your booty over the ship. And also, I think probably worst of all, which you don't think about, is the abject BO of just dozens and dozens and dozens of guys who hadn't taken a shower for months. Yeah. that would be a bit noisome, as they might say. But were it not for them and their bravery, we wouldn't have had so many other great discoveries as well. So, as I said, when we get Karen and our guest, we'll throw them on the air. And by the way, our guest, James Ball, is an MBE, which is it's just below knighthood. It's a most excellent order of the British Empire. It's an order of chivalry, the true meaning of chivalry. It's sort of like the real meaning of GQ. GQ just means you have everything set in your locker. It doesn't mean that you're a hot guy in a magazine. Doesn't mean, oh, Patty Mangan is walking in studio with us right now. Feel free to have a seat here. You never know what type of surprises we're going to get. Let's pull the microphone up to you. So Karen Lyle is in the UK. We're trying to get her with James Ball, MBE, but also from Salesport.com. We have the head lady herself, Patty Mangan. How you doing, Patty?
I'm doing great, Rick. How
now,
are you?
Now, were you just happened to be on your way to Chinatown and stopped by?
No, I've been trying to get here for half an hour.
So you were scheduled to be on.
No, we were hoping for Karen to come through from London, but I'm here as backup.
Okay, well, we can't get either guest right now. So what is new in the sailing world can you regale us with?
Well, I can talk about opening day.
Okay, great.
Opening day here in the Bay Area is April 30th, but across the nation, there's an opening day for sailing, boating.
I did not know that.
Yes, they celebrate and kind of, you know, here it comes, rain or no, we're ready for it. Much like, you know, baseball has opening day.
Yeah.
I'm thinking on the way over here, I was thinking about other sports that might have opening days.
Every sport has opening day. Just baseball, that's the one that we think of. I think they coined, so many of the things we talk about are so baseball related. Yeah. So for sailing, though, to me, it's a 365, 24/7 type of thing. When you say opening day, is it mostly just like the weather is not so bad on the East Coast that now we can take out our pleasure boats?
It's a matter of spring. It's a matter of it goes back hundreds of years, mm-hmm, in terms of the men who went out to sea to go fishing, maybe not so much for leisure and certainly not for competition, but for livelihood. And so there was this time and place when you could kind of open the gates and everyone would go out. And mm-hmm, typically there's a blessing. So this goes back hundreds, yeah, of years. So we'll be having a blessing in the Straits over by Tiburon.
Oh, wow.
So everyone can go by. So we're having an opening day parade. So
that's the Raccoon Straits, right?
Raccoon Straits.
Between Angel Island, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there will be a boat there and there will be three denominations of religion.
Clergy, sure.
Clergy.
Yeah.
And as we go by in our various boats, small and large committee party boat, mm-hmm, they will give a blessing as we go by.
Christian, Judaism, Islam, or what are we looking at?
More like Protestant.
Oh, so, okay.
Episcopalian. And it's volunteer. Okay. The whole thing is volunteer. Right?
So two Protestants and a wild card. I'm just teasing you. Nowadays, it's like I'm someone on Twitter. I can't believe they didn't have a Methodist. Somebody will always be
somebody will have a problem.
Yes. Patty Mangan is in studio with us. So for those people who are thinking opening day, it sounds like a lot of fun. How do you be a part of it? Do you have to be part of a private yacht club, or how does it work?
Actually, you do not have to be a member of a yacht club. If you have a boat and you live in the Bay Area, you can join in on the parade. It's free. The registration is at picya.org, and that is Pacific Inner Club Yacht Association. So there's about 105 yacht clubs that are part of an association up here in Northern California. There's about 80 in Southern California. And they'll be having their opening day events as well. And our opening day for the Bay is different than the Delta. So for those of you who don't know, our Delta in California is the largest, mm-hmm, like it in the country.
For sure.
And
we have our guests. How about that? Karen Lyle, let's check in with you. Are you calling from Whitehall, the Cabinet War Rooms? I was there once. How you doing?
Yes, we're actually there, and I had to come out of the war rooms to be able to call Dominic and then come back down to connect to Wi-Fi because there's no cell phone, of course, down here. And I'm with Jamie Balls as well.
Well, James Ball is with us, an MBE. That's Most Excellent Order of the British Empire. That's just below knighthood. James, welcome to the show. Did you have to get suited and booted for Buckingham Palace for this one?
I certainly did, and I was delighted to be accompanied by Karen. I said, the only person that could possibly fix communicating to the rest of the world from a room which is supposed to be the most secure in Britain would be Karen, and I'm glad she achieved it.
So, Karen, as I mentioned, for people who don't know, Whitehall, right by the Thames, so close to Westminster and all the government there, but that's where Churchill had his war cabinet during the Blitz and such things, and a lot of that stuff is still preserved, and as I said, I had the pleasure of going through there. It's quite fascinating.
It is, and today we were here because the Ministry of Defense has had an initiative where they have brought together all of the conservation efforts from all of the different parts of the Ministry of Defense for the United Kingdom to give out sanctuary awards. And so we just came from the sanctuary awards ceremony. And Jamie Balls is the founder of the Armed Forces Equine Charity, which won the Social Value Award.
Yes, and we should know there's still a lot of horses involved. If you've been around Buckingham Palace and you see the Coldstream Guard or other Busbies, how is it with the equine world there and Ascot and such things?
It's great. You're talking about the Household Cavalry Mounted Regiment who are around, and those are the horses that are officially military working horses. They still have a role, a military role, and that is the ceremonial duties that you're referring to there. What we tend to be involved with is how horses connect people. And the particular award is about conservation is we work with veterans who have come from the deepest and darkest of places. And we get them to connect with horses, which just opens them up. Most of them don't want to be people facing. And so we introduce them into environmental and conservation projects. And they're very good at that. In other words, they're out counting butterflies, counting birds, counting whatever. And what was recognized today by the UK Minister of State for Environment and Conservation, who actually had a conference with the Prime Minister here this morning, gave us this award. And like everybody, I think, in the room, most of us were all surprised that what we were doing, being called to the war rooms and what we're doing here. But it's nice to recognize that horses have led to people's recovery journey, and the recovery journey is around conservation and environmental issues. And what's lovely to see, particularly with Karen here, was a number that went to the maritime environment. And I thought that was amazing, seeing some of the amazing maritime projects. And I think this broadcast goes out to Armed Forces News. And one of the projects that won an award today was about heritage. And it was about recognizing some of the US naval servicemen, who were lost at sea and finding those ships and those sunken vessels that were there and paying true tribute to them. So it was fitting that Karen was here representing the U.S., as well as the talk show.
It's quite fitting. And just have to ask, did you hire your top hat and tails, or do you own it?
I'm an English gentleman. I'm sadly, I own one.
All right. Now, I know the In-N-Out.
And I have the equivalent here. So
very nice. I know you guys are both members of the In-N-Out Navy and Military Club, and I know your patronage was from the Duke of Edinburgh, who just recently passed away. Will you be getting a new patron soon?
Yes, we are just waiting for the Royal Household to come to us with the name of the Royal Patron. Within ourselves, we have a number of organizations that we work with who already have Royal Patrons. But for the overarching charity, we will wait the due period. And I suspect after the coronation of King Charles, we will hear.
And where you are, too, I mean, you're right in the thick of the MOD as well. And you're in a working environment, just not far removed from a few doors, aren't you?
That's right. And we've had, of course, many of the officials from that organization, the MOD, with us here in the ceremony. And we took a couple pictures before, so that we'll share that on the SailsportTalk.com website. And actually, Rick, one of the reasons that I got involved in this is because Sailsport Talk, going out to 168 countries, around the world and 100 million people. Actually, you know, when we connect water to all of those different countries, which it connects in some way or another, I'm actually in the process of choosing a charity from every country that is represented in our network. And so we're starting here in London with the Armed Forces Equine Charity, and then there will be other charities that follow. And so eventually we will have represented charities that are helping veterans, especially those suffering with PTSD in different countries, in whatever ways that country culture really wants the people identify with.
That's very well said. And I'll leave you with this, James. My father was a United States Naval officer in the 50s. He was on aircraft carriers. And I remember when I was in high school during the Falkland War, when the Invincible was steaming its way south, I saw that the flight deck was curved up at the bow, and I thought it looked ridiculous. And then my dad said, "That's very smart. I wish we would do that." So you guys had it over on us in the carrier department.
Well, it's an honor to serve with people like your father, you know, and what he stood for, and all the U.S. forces out there.
All right, well said. James Ball, MBE, and Karen Lyle, SalesportTalk.com. I wish I was there. Patty Mangan is with us as well. Thank you for everyone for coming in today.
Thank you, Patty. Hi, and thank you so much for standing in there in San Francisco. We are having a great time here in London, and we'll see you next week, Rick.